leading rusher for Bama off the bench. Jones looking to throw far side, has Smith in stride, and the Heisman winner knocked out at the 15.
From its own 39-yard line, designed run for Trey Lance. Keeps the feet moving, and now he's off to the races. Trey Lance down the sideline, 61-yard touchdown.
It's lined up as fast as they can. Now 34, Wilson going deep. Wilson toward the end zone, and it is caught. Milne, touchdown.
Tells his quick tape job on his left ankle. He's back on the field for the A&M defense. They lead 3-0. Third down and 11. Lawrence forced to scramble. Now throws, has two receivers open, and a Clemson touchdown.
Four-man rush. Fields has time. Launches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown. Ohio State.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. Coming from you live from Irvine, California, you have Nasty Nate Parker.
Hey, how do you do, fellas? What's going on? I feel honored. I've been first two shows in a row. I feel like Woody's trying to like apologize to me for making me go last so many times.
It wasn't intentional, my friend. It wasn't intentional. Calvin McLaughlin Jr.
What up?
What's going on, man? When's that mixtape dropping?
Hey, man, I don't know. We got issues with the record label and all that, so, you know, hey, that stuff.
Though. Did you have an entanglement with your manager?
Did not have that. Did not have that. I am not Jada Pinkett Smith.
Brandon, Coach Lumberg.
What's up?
Can I get a whistle for the coach, please?
Oh, yeah. You know, I meant to do that, like, from the jump.
You're sleeping. What's good, man?
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How's Ohio smelling today?
Like cows.
All right. Fair enough.
Not sure.
Oh, God.
Here I'm outside your window, Brandon.
All right, y'all. Let's hop right in this. We're going to do some draft coverage. We're talking quarterback. Some may say the most important position. Anyone who watches the sport would say the most important position. So let's dive right into it. We're going to start with the top five quarterbacks. We're going to go in ascending order. So we're going to start at the bottom and then end up over there. And then we're going to give our quarterbacks a watch in the late round. Okay. Oh. So the first quarterback I'm bringing to the table today for the tools to discuss. Shout out to Football Scout 365, where we're getting all of our pre-draft coverage. I'm literally reading their lists right now. Shout out to Coach Brandon Lumberg. But my favorite quarterback of this draft class, I think he's stacked with the most boomer bust potential. The Josh Allen of the dance, Trey Lance.
I just want to throw out there, like, that's just insulting to Josh Allen.
It's not really. He's coming
it
from
is,
a
it is.
Very
his,
similar
Trey
situation.
Trey Lance's arm is not nearly as special as Josh Allen's.
Well, it is the best
Josh
in this
Allen, And Josh Allen is a significantly better athlete than Trey Lance. But continue.
Trey Lance rushed for 1,200 yards, so I don't think that's necessarily true.
I don't think he's a better athlete. I think he's
Josh Allen is absolutely a better.
I think they're very similar in terms of speed, though. I know we had talked about this before, the 40 times being very similar.
Josh Allen's 40 time was the worst 40 time he's ever dropped.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you guys,
he ran it 0.3 seconds faster.
Since we're starting the discussion on Trey Lance, though, four of the top five quarterbacks that people talk about the most, they're considered conflict players. And when I'm trying to define what a conflict player is, they're the types of players who, you know, they put pressure on the defense with their legs just as much as they can with their arm. This is really, you know, proving more and more the evolution of the NFL game, moving to more spread offense elements, trying to connect players with the college game as they come into the NFL to simplify things a little bit more, so to speak. And we see it every year that passes. You know, we're seeing more and more of those college elements move into the NFL game. So you got guys in this draft that fit that very well. And Trey Lance is definitely one of them, Woody.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's my favorite because, I mean, not only do you get the athleticism of, I don't think people really understand how hard it is to rush for 1,200 yards as a quarterback and throw for a significant amount of yards. Like, there's a reason why a lot of people look at Tim Tebow as the greatest college quarterback of all time. It's just reality. Same thing, Lamar Jackson's up there as well as an exciting college quarterback. But Trey Lance, he also has the strongest arm in this draft. Like, that's a valuable thing. Like, that's what bought Josh Allen time and development to be able to become the quarterback that he is. Because we were on a two-year path of wondering if Josh Allen could even be a starter in the NFL. He did not have the accuracy for it, and he got over that hump. And that probably had a lot to do with landing in the right spot, getting coached correctly. And I think Trey needs the exact same type of luck in his corner.
Hey, and yeah. let's not overlook the fact that Josh Allen had a great year, but you also have to give it to his coaching staff a little bit too. So, I mean, he's not out of the woods yet. I mean, look at Carson Wentz. Look at where he was and where he is now. So, we got to, you know what I'm saying? We can't be too quick to anoint some of these guys. I love Josh Allen. Would I put him in my top five right now? I'd probably put him at five, yeah. But, I mean, it's still a lot that has to be written. The essay isn't over yet, you dig what I'm saying? But, you know, in regards to Trey Lance, they're comparable players, small school guys. I think Trey Lance is quicker twitch. Trey Lance, I could see him going as early as three because San Fran, because they have Jimmy G there, they can kind of sit him and, you know, just kind of be patient. You know, really in comparison to what we saw Kansas City Chiefs do with Patrick Mahomes when they had Alex Smith, or even going back a little bit further to the Packers when they drafted Aaron Rodgers and let him sit for a few years. So, I mean, hey, the upside is there. San Fran can take that risk. If Trey Lance doesn't go three, I could see him falling or someone trading up to grab him. But just like in past years, when you have a highly regarded quarterback class, so you might have a few guys up there who people think, oh, they're surefire top five, top ten picks. Somebody's going to fall. Somebody is going to fall. We don't know who it is, but somebody is going to fall.
I got my money on the dude with epilepsy.
Well, I do want to point out, too, Woody, and I think it was you who just made the point right before CJ there about the Josh Allen, you know, his year two jump due to the fact Brian Daboll was hired by the Buffalo Bills. He was at Alabama, brought that scheme from Alabama to the Buffalo Bills, and then now we're seeing that next level transition for Josh Allen because he's thinking less. You know what I mean? He's just out there.
It's more reactionary. Yeah. Okay. I like it. So the best fits for Trey Lance before we go.
I mean, I could see him. He fits just about, like, this is what's special about this class. And I know we've talked about this before. I'm going to keep repeating myself, but you know, Fields, Lance, Lawrence, Zach Wilson could fit just about in any system, you know. But again, it's going to be largely reliant on how a coach will adapt that system to them. Some of the systems, you know, need some tweaking. Like San Francisco's offense, you don't see zone read in that offense a lot. You don't see them running RPO. So those are elements that they'll
But it definitely is the capability
add.
Of it.
Right. Those are things that they'll add. And really good coaches, they go to their former college coach and they ask him for some of those elements from their playbook to make it easier.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Just imagine the RPO possibilities for San Fran if they got one of these, if they got Justin Fields or Trey Lance. Just imagine. And then what we don't
talk
about.
Or even a bootleg with a fake handoff.
Yeah, man. But look,
that's the oldest RPO in the book, right?
One thing. That's real. One thing we don't talk about is how important, like, the tight end position is when it comes to RPOs, right? Because when you're running an RPO on any given play, your tight end is probably the closest receiver to you, right? Mm-hmm. RPOs are quick hitters. Just imagine San Francisco running an RPO and you got Kittle going down the seam. Mm-hmm. You're faking a handoff to Debo Samuel running across. Oh, my. Gosh, man, the possibilities.
Your linebacker's just got to be like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here. I'm waiting.
He's going to have brown stains on the back of his pants at the end of the game.
A couple places that I've peeped that I could see him having a lot of success with his athleticism. Trey Lance, but it looks like they're leaning more towards Justin Fields, Max Jones in that decision, and would be the 49ers. I also think Denver would be a very interesting spot because of the weapons that are there already. Melvin Gordon is capable of running, you know, read option, but they would have to change their offense for Trey Lance. That is a definite. But they do it. They have an amazing amount of weapons. And with a guy with that arm, you could chuck it up to Cortland Sutton, and it doesn't have to be necessarily the most accurate ball.
You know what just hit me? I actually really think it. I just had an epiphany. I think Mac Jones would be a great fit in Denver. Right. I mean, you're kind of taking him from a place at Alabama where he was surrounded with weapons, right? We know he knows how to run a pro-style offense because he did it at Alabama. Alabama is the 33rd team in the NFL. So, you know, he has that coaching, and now you're putting him in a stable environment that has weapons around him and has a pretty good line. I think that would be ideal for him. And see, like I said, it just hit me.
I disagree with you there, CJ, on one reason only. In Mile High Stadium, there's heavy winds. You need a strong-armed quarterback. That's why they've always gone after the Jay Cutlers, the Jake Plummers, the Kyle Ortons, guys that really had a lot of velocity on the football. Is that Mac Jones?
I mean, he doesn't have a weak arm. He's just not. Yeah. He's just not the strongest. Look, Peyton Manning went to Denver and won a Super Bowl with a broken shoulder. Not literally, but, I mean, he had a jacked-up shoulder and neck and all that. And, you know,
I mean, he had a noodle arm. Like, it's the year he won the Super Bowl, he's noodle arm Peyton.
Well, he also had a terrible year that year, though, until the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the year before that, he balled out.
Are you kidding me? He couldn't throw the ball further than 10 yards accurately.
Right, and that was his last year, right? He retired.
Yeah, his last year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He got benched for Osweiler.
He was in Denver. The year before that, he was in Denver. Put up good numbers.
Oh, yeah. Well, with his noodle arm. It was 2 years before that, he put up 55 touchdowns.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning is also the exception to the rule. So
I don't super like smart. Mac Jones doesn't have a weak arm, and if your only concern is arm strength, that's something that can be trained.
Well, yeah,
that's the one thing.
My concerns with Mac Jones outside the arm, that's the least of my worries because of repetition and all that stuff. Old man strength, his arm's gonna get stronger. It's the DUIs, lack of mobility.
Yeah, I have legit character concerns about Mac Jones. For you to put your team at risk and get two DUIs on when you're on a championship level football team, man, you haven't seen Super Bowl week in Miami. Like, just wait till those beers and Coronas and tequilas come calling, man. Is this going to be a problem later on? That's the question we need to start asking.
As long as he don't turn into Riley Cooper when he gets drunk, he might be all right.
I will say this. I feel like the 49ers moved up for a reason. And I think that they know Denver is looking for the QB. Obviously, right? Denver's looking for a QB. Carolina's looking for a QB. And the rumor and the speculation was Carolina was looking at Mac Jones. They really liked Mac Jones.
As soon as
the 49ers moved up, boom, Sam Darnold moves into that spot. They're like, okay, we got to make a move. They made the move. Yeah. And Denver as well. Denver probably looking at Mac Jones in that same light. And I feel like he would be a great fit there, but who knows?
John Elway does love underwhelming white quarterbacks.
I think this guy's going to be a little different. Character thing might be.
He's better than Paxton Lynch? Oh, man.
Before we close out Trey Lance, here's what I think is going on.
Mac
Trey
Jones, Lance's brother?
CJ, you brought up Mac Jones because you said he'd be the perfect fit in Denver, but we hadn't closed out Trey Lance yet. So, I mean, let's bring it back for a second. Trey Lance is going to be the bust this year as far as quarterbacks. Number one, because I don't think he's not the answer to any particular team. He's not refined enough, and he's going to get thrust into a situation where he's just going to fail. Number two, with 60% certainty, the Detroit Lions are going to pick Trey Lance, and I'm going to on camera during the draft.
These are all very subjective arguments. Because
all of our takes are subjective. That's why we're analysts.
It's just true. But Trey Lance, but to say that he's gonna go somewhere where he's thrust into it, he could go somewhere where he's sit for a year or two.
If he goes to Denver, he doesn't have to start right away.
He's gonna start immediately.
Even at Denver, Denver's not in a place to where they have to start the quarterback.
Drew Lock. It would be a competition. In camp.
Lance
would be
win.
Great.
Yeah.
Probably.
But I mean, saying is,
if you're gonna draft a guy in the top five, he's probably going to start immediately.
Not necessarily.
Name the last quarterback drafted in the top five that didn't start immediately.
Yeah, I can tell you the last quarterback that should have been drafted in the top five that could have started immediately but didn't. Patrick Mahomes. I mean, okay.
But we're talking about teams in the top five drafting him. So name the last quarterback to be drafted in the top five and not start.
I mean, people sit all the time that get quarterbacks in the first round.
Top five quarterback picks that have sat.
I can tell you who should have, Sam Darnold.
I can't remember the quarterbacks that was drafted last year.
Yeah, man.
Darnold should have sat.
It's Friday.
When was Tua picked? I forget.
Oh, he was three.
Yeah. Ah, debunk. That didn't take long.
Yeah.
Damn.
Tua was regarded by some analysts, quote unquote analysts, that thought he was the best college quarterback of all time, which was vastly wrong.
That was crazy. Who? Tua?
Yeah, a few. There were guys out there who really were on that Tua bandwagon.
I was.
But then
I am. I still believe in Tua.
As the greatest college quarterback of all time?
No, not the greatest college quarterback of all time.
That's what I just said.
He was pacing Joe Burrow. Like, he was on that track until he got hurt. Like, he was about to have a historic year. It was like both of them.
But like, as CJ always says, the best ability
is availability.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that the Miami Dolphins are going to have to worry about. And he didn't look good solid last year. But Mac Jones, he stepped in last year, and he put up one of the most efficient college football seasons we've ever seen from a quarterback. It was actually very impressive. DUIs aside, there's something to be said about getting expectations done. Because when you are an Alabama quarterback, you are with that loaded of a roster, you're expected to go to the championship and win in a dominant fashion. And he did. In one of the most efficient college quarterback seasons we've ever seen. So the question that NFL franchises are going to have to ask themselves about him, was it the talent or is he actually a great quarterback? And then, Brandon, I know that you believe Mac Jones is going to be a good NFL starter because he throws guys open.
Yeah, and he's a guy who can move around in the pocket a little bit and not just like running, taking his eyes away from down the field. He's somebody who lets things open up for him. He'll sidestep pressure. He knows, like, he has a knack for feeling it. So if it's coming from one side, he knows to take just the subtle step to the left, for example, and just kind of buy that extra millisecond of time before he gets rid of the football. I mean,
that's where people start going crazy. But
yeah,
it's just a comparison. He's
right.
He's subtle. He's subtly just mobile and smart and does it's the little details, Brandon. We talk about this all the time, right? If you want to master your craft, whether it's quarterback, receiver, defensive back, it's the subtle details, right? So I feel you on that. Mac Jones does a great job navigating the pockets, stepping up, stepping through, and as you said, he throws guys open.
He's a rhythm-based passer too. Like he's good for that 1-2-3 get rid of it quick stuff too as well. So
which could be its pros and cons with that, right?
Yeah.
It's pros and cons. You get a guy like that behind a bad offensive line, and guess what? Well, we won't know who Mac Jones is in 3 or 4 years. So,
I'll say one more thing, and I want to throw it out there because this is probably a really good point. But in 2020, Mac Jones had less time to throw, 2.5 seconds, than 73 other quarterbacks in college football. Yet he had the highest QBR while under pressure of 124 and the third highest completion rate at 57%. So,
I mean, as good as their offense is, they still are playing SEC defense opponents. These are the strongest, fastest young men in the United States.
And they didn't have, they had a good offensive line. Do not get me wrong. It was solid. But, like, in past years, they have had, like, completely dominant offensive lines.
That's what they've been doing for a long time. It used to be just plug a quarterback in and they're good to go.
Exactly. Some three-star Joe Schmo just handed off, son. But now, even in this year's draft, I feel like in past years, maybe it's always one guy from Alabama, whether it's a tackle or a guard, who's like, all right, this guy's definitely going top 10, top 15. They have Alex Leatherwood this year, but I think he's more so a late first to second round pick. So, like, Alabama didn't have the dominant offensive line that we were used to seeing them with in past years. So,
yeah.
So, we have been teased that the Patriots have taken a liking to Mac Jones as well. There's been rumors of them trying to move up And if San Francisco doesn't take Mac Jones, do we see Billy Bell making a play here, maybe moving up?
Unless he can get that four spot and he can take somebody else if that's, unless Jones falls, right?
I think Bill has something up his sleeves. I always say history repeats itself like short shorts. We don't have any history of this, though. And the reason is because Tom Brady's been there, right? So now it's totally a new slate. So now Bill has to go get his guy. So everyone makes the argument, well, you know, that's unlike Bill. Bill doesn't really do stuff like that. Well, guess what? He ain't got Tommy B there anymore. So he has to kind of be desperate.
Yeah, Bill's not going to go into a season again without a guy.
And he has a guy, but I think they're looking ahead. I think whoever they get, I mean, look, let Cam play this year. Full off season, if he can stay healthy, that offense can go, like, to new heights. It's built relatively for Cam Newton, if you look at it. It's really New England-based, too, with the two tight ends, but we all know how much Cam loved throwing to the tight ends, i.e. Greg Olsen back in Carolina, so... I mean, it's not a terrible scenario for Bill. I think he does want to move up and get his guy. But I think Cam Newton's going to be the guy in New England starting a full 17 games if he stays healthy.
They are in a spot, though, where if they sit where they're at and somebody falls back, Trey Lance falls back, for example, that's a guy that they should consider for sure behind Cam Newton. But then again, that they're also in that area where I'm like, would they take Kellen Mond? Yeah. Would they kick the tires on that in that spot, or would they move back knowing that the Bears and other teams need a quarterback as well? I mean, I feel like there's going to be a trick out there for one of these teams that's looking to grab a guy mid-round or mid-first round.
Now,
that we don't expect.
But look, I'll counter with this. I'm looking at the draft order now, and there's possibility that after you get past the first, after you get to the Denver Broncos pick, the Patriots might be able to stay at 15 and get whoever that last quarterback is on the board if it's Trey Lance. Because if you look at it, I mean, you got Dallas at 10. They got a quarterback. New York Giants, they're not going quarterback. They're probably going receiver. Eagles, they could potentially go quarterback, although it's somewhat unlikely. You got the Chargers, they got Herbert. And you got the Vikings who got Kirk Cousins. They could possibly go quarterback, but they need a lot of help on defense. So it's some chance that if the Patriots just be patient and stay put, they could get their guy. I know you got to worry about the Bears trading up, but the thing about the Bears is...
they got a lot of holes to fill.
They got a lot of holes to fill, but do they have the equity to trade away picks to get...
They do. They have all their picks.
I'm not thinking the Bears about. I'm not thinking they're going to move up. I'm thinking the Bears are sitting there and they see a guy that they want late. You see what I'm saying? Like in that spot where we could see a surprise in that area. Where
we're going to get to those surprise picks at
like
the end.
Like your Davis Mills, your Mons. Okay.
Yeah. We're gonna cover those guys at the end. Now, Brandon, here's where your rankings tend to break away from the pack. So Zach Wilson has had a meteoric rise this season. From like the fifth best quarterback to now, we're even hearing some people say there's been multiple analysts that have come out and said he's the best quarterback in the draft. I think he's better than Trevor Lawrence. And this is based off one season of production. He really came into his own this last season. And some say it was because they had an easier schedule because BYU had some scheduling conflicts. But Zach Wilson showed a lot of like Brett Favre in himself. But you have him listed as the third quarterback on your list, and Ohio State's Justin Fields, who's been caught in a bit of an odd free fall lately, is up in second.
It's not that odd.
Oh, well, I think we know where you're going, CJ. But so he's right. That's the limbo. Some people have Zach Wilson even rivaling Trevor Lawrence. Why do you have him? Is it more Justin Fields is why you have him at underneath him, or is it more?
I would say, is there really that big of a difference between the number one and number three ranking on a draft board? I know, like when we look at things, me personally, I do see him as the third rated quarterback. I've got him behind Lawrence and Fields. I've had this I've been steadfast about this pretty much the whole time. And again, it goes back to the conversation. Look, when I watch Wilson, I see him on film. I see him do all the amazing stuff that you hear about. He's got the great arm angles. He's got that great mobility. I mentioned him in as being a conflict player. He can put defenders on skates, so to speak, and puts them in conflict because of his passing ability and his running ability and his escapability and ability to make plays. But Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence, those guys can do those types of things as well. And we've had this discussion numerous times. I look at BYU's schedule a season ago. I look at the fact they didn't play really in a tough environment until Coastal Carolina, to be honest with you, with, I believe there were fans in the stands, if I even remember correctly. It was limited capacity.
It was the South. There was.
Right. So, again, I look at that. I don't want to take too much away from it because every quarterback had to do it. But if you go back to his 2019 tape, there's a huge difference in disparity in what he did in 2019 and 20. But again, he shows all of the amazing traits that you want to see. You brought up Brett Favre-ish type stuff. That's true. The arm angles and all that. The Patrick Mahomes comparisons that people keep bringing up. Everybody wants it. You're right. Everybody is so nervous. Yeah, where he's not the no look pass. He's done some weird stuff like that, right? Something I would never teach my own kid to do, but that's nevertheless. I don't care.
Appreciate y'all for that. But Brandon, I appreciate you having Zach Wilson 3. I feel like if he wasn't even getting this much publicity, you might even have him lower, right? But the media does affect rankings a bit. And Woody, I thank you for comparing him more so to Brett Favre than Patrick Mahomes, because that's getting out of hand. Zach Wilson will probably be the bust of this class.
Ooh, okay. I disagree. I love the way this man commands the pocket, and I love the way he can glance off defenders already. That's a huge skill in the NFL.
I like his competitiveness. I like his swagger, right? But I think he's too pretty. I think he's too pretty to be good in the NFL. You look at some of the really good-looking quarterbacks, not named Tom Brady. They don't do that well.
How do you feel about Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is not. He looks weird. He'll be really good.
Yeah.
Like Peyton Manning.
He looks like a girl who plays a saxophone in the high school band.
Yeah. With
like the long face.
That lost 100 pounds.
He did play saxophone while he won every high school game.
Okay.
But no, like.
Couldn't believe it. Ran off the field, started playing in the band.
I think some of this stuff that we're saying about Zach Wilson, We can go back and look at some other equipment. Look, they said a lot of this stuff about Drew Lock when he came out. The arm angles, the swagger, the competitiveness. He's more mobile than we thought he would. And the only reason he dropped where he did was because of the system that he played in. So
Zach Wilson's much more accurate than Drew Lock.
Look, Drew Lock was playing in the SEC. All right.
That's true.
So
it's true.
I don't know, man. I have my resume.
I mean, we've drafted a lot of quarterbacks. The college football game has changed. Like, it's just there's so much better infrastructure and training with dudes coming up. You never know when dudes are going to take the next step. We've seen so many guys come out of mid-majors and, like, not big schools. It's not something that is my first worry anymore, like it would have been a few years ago.
Well, you also have to seize the day as well, because organizations aren't, you know, really holding on to these quarterbacks and giving them ample amount of time to really develop, right?
Correct.
Right. I do look at Zach Wilson, though, and I do, you brought up the competitive nature. I've also heard people who are a little bit closer to him, like, say, that he is a really competitive dude. He's somebody who loves the game of football. He loves to study the game and like, he's smart.
By the end of the show, we all have to give our one bust.
I already said it was Mac Jones.
I'm on record. I think it's going to be Zach Wilson. I think that's my pick. Brandon hates this talk because he don't want to pick any bust. But Brandon, you got to, bro.
Mac Jones reminds me of Matt Castle.
Well, he made a Pro Bowl, so I mean, hey, you know.
Yeah, he hit 1 year. He was a decent starter for 1 year. Yeah.
With Bill.
Yeah. All right.
What about you? Nate, where you at?
I think Zach Wilson has the biggest upside of any quarterback in this draft simply because of the gifts that he has on display. And I think that's one of the reasons people like the media specifically, that not us, we're trying to, we're level headed. We kind of look at we're what you see is what you get kind of
with the media analysts. Though.
We are media. I like it.
But we're different.
We are different. Like I said, we're what you see is what you get. So Brandon, I think you have him ranked properly because I think that specifically Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are talented, as talented currently, but they're safer. They're the safer picks for the stability of a franchise. Whereas like a Zach Wilson, theoretically, New York Jets pick Zach Wilson at 2 because they're like, you know what? We want this upside. Like, there's a chance that Zach Wilson goes to New York and he's not what they thought he was. I think he's a little bit safer than Trey Lance because he did perform under pressure in big games. Like, the only reason BYU was in the Coastal Carolina game was because of Zach Wilson.
And Coastal wasn't a slouch this year.
Defensively, yeah. They were fast. Because I remember I was texting you guys. I was texting CJ, at least to my recollection, maybe the group. But we were talking about how...
Because, you know, we watch football and stuff.
Yeah, BYU...
I'm joking, guys.
You know, we were texting back and forth, and we were calling out BYU being potentially being more physical and just running all over him. And then that didn't even happen. So, like, Wilson was forced into a situation where he had to try. And they were coming after him. He was running for his life sometimes. But at the end, he almost let him down the field. I'm like, okay. They were like a yard or two away from winning the game.
BYU lost that game. I'm not like a lot of other people. I don't like to blame stuff on coaching or referees or any of that stuff. BYU lost that game off of coaching, man. Like, yeah. Brandon, when we started watching that game, BYU just looked like they outmanned Coastal Carolina. They were bigger. They were running the ball. They were gashing them. But then, I don't know, they just went away from running the ball and started getting cute, and Coastal Carolina got in rhythm. And, hey, them boys down south, man, they some athletes.
Hey, that running back for Coastal, Maribel.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here.
Hey, that game alone solidified him as an NFL draft pick.
All right. We've given Zach Wilson enough lip service here. Let's talk some Justin Fields. Justin Fields, he has been the core. There's always one player in the top five of the draft that usually catches some flack for something. Then this growing weird narrative kind of comes out of nowhere and grows a little bit before the draft. And then everyone just kind of takes it as a sweeping fact. We saw this. Aaron Rodgers is a perfect example. A lot of people didn't really know whether he was big enough or tall enough to be a great quarterback. They had questions about his accuracy. They had questions about his ability to command a team. And, you know, he pretty much was dropped all the way to the 22nd pick, and he was sitting there on live TV. So let's talk Justin Fields. Justin Fields, why is he dropping?
Because he's black.
I think he's dropping on TV and on the media right now, and I think he's going to get drafted early.
Yeah.
I think that there's people out there that have some weird narrative about whatever they believe or whatever they're hearing. And speculation, right? Here we go. It could be an NFL franchise trying to get him to drop. Yep. Who the heck knows? We've seen that before. Honestly, this is a dude who – this is probably one of the smartest kids, and we just discussed that two shows ago. Nate brought up the test that he had taken where, you know, his
– he got the best score ever, apparently.
Right. And I learned the other day, dude had like an offer from an Ivy League school, and he had a 3.9 GPA in high school. And I'm like, okay, this dude is – okay, I don't want to hear any of that. Right.
He's humble.
Yeah.
But Ohio State – I'm a Justin Fields fan.
Ohio State quarterbacks suck. They've never been good.
Now,
well, we can make the argument that Ohio State, outside of Dwayne Haskins, just never really ever had a quarterback.
Troy Smith?
Running back playing quarterback. That's my point. That's what I'm saying, Braxton.
Yeah, they had they had JT Barrett before that and
Cardale
Jones. Braxton Miller, right?
Cardale was probably their top pro prospect.
And he's like a fifth-round pick or something. Yeah.
He went third round to the Chargers.
No, but the year prior,
if he would have stayed, he would have gotten way better.
Listen, if Cardell would have actually left after that national title run, he was getting first-round conversation at that time, and then he stayed a year too long, then had to battle with JT Barrett, and it just went downhill. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Troy, honestly, I think Troy Smith came a couple years early into the NFL. If he would have came a little later on with more when they designed offenses to help a little bit of shorter quarterbacks, I think he actually could play anyway.
He was Terrell Pryor, had his final year at Ohio State not been...
Terrell Pryor couldn't throw, though.
No, Terrell Pryor had an arm.
His athleticism, though, overall would have masked that so much more. Had he not had the debacle, the trestle, the Tatgate thing at Ohio State, all trying to sweep it under the rug, and then everything went downhill, Brandon, he would have been amazing.
I think we can all agree with this. If he just wouldn't have gone to the garbage Raiders during that time, I think he had a chance to succeed.
Yeah. He's a player, though, that needed more time. He could have went somewhere and developed, maybe.
I was really disappointed. I thought he was going to become an elite receiver. I mean, he put up an amazing
season with the Browns.
Yeah. Hey, he definitely made money.
1,000-plus yards.
Yeah.
He definitely made some money in the NFL, though. So, and he was one of the top basketball recruits, too. Guys, this dude was amazing.
Coming out of Pennsylvania as a basketball.
Yeah.
But Justin Fields. So, what sets Justin Fields apart?
He's a smarter player.
He processes
information quicker. And let's go back to this last semifinal game against Clemson, for example. The way that he was processing information on certain... There were about four or five plays where the dude went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through his progressions, like literally standing in the pocket after getting completely crushed by a dirty hit from Skalski, the linebacker in Clemson. So this dude's cringing as he's making downfield throws, fighting through all that, and still stood in the pocket, didn't even care, going through progressions and making plays in certain moments. So all the argument, and guess what? What's funny about this is I pointed this out, and recently here, even on local radio, right when the conversation started, where people were talking about Justin Fields not being able to go through progressions, being a one-read guy, they interviewed Ryan Day about that, and Ryan Day further solidified what I just said and what I had seen in that semifinal game. He said that Justin Fields was doing it, did it several times against Clemson in that game. Go look at the film. People aren't doing the right homework. They're just, and they're basing it off of hearsay.
Yeah, and it's all media. It's someone's agent or some team that's like, it's like, we got to push this guy down the board.
It's Billy Bell. It's Billy Bell.
Hey, there's
some weird, but what bothers me is Orlovsky, though, because Orlovsky said some stuff, right?
Get him. Listen to him.
Get him.
And I like Orlovsky, he does good breakdown.
I know, he does a good job. Like,
so, yeah, that was surprising.
I'm like, what is he talking about? Is he really, is someone else watching it and sending it to him, and then he's just going off of that, or is he really watching it?
Okay, so let's say the 49ers don't pick Justin Fields, 3. Where does he go?
The Detroit Lions.
I really think Atlanta is so quiet, and he's from Atlanta, so why not? I mean,
they're trying to trade that pick.
Do we know that for sure? Because
We don't know that for sure.
I've heard they're listening to offers.
They're candidates to trade down, but we don't know that.
A lot of people have Kyle Pitts being added in because he's the number one prospect. Right there into Atlanta's number 4 spot. So, and they do have a hole there since Austin Hooper left. So it makes sense.
Oh man, are you really going to do, but you're at number 4, you've got an older quarterback now.
He's the number 1 prospect though. It wouldn't
but
like if you draft
not get a guy,
one of the greatest tight ends of all time.
They can't, the issue for the Falcons is they can't get out of Matt Ryan's deal
till next year.
So the issue, if Atlanta
1 year
reaches
with
up,
Fields
says,
back then.
No, you're right. I mean, Brandon, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I see it both ways, right? From a long-term perspective, you want to pick Justin Fields, have a quarterback on a cheap deal. You can cut Matt Ryan next year, cut him loose, not worry about it. On the other side, like Kyle Pitts in this system, you might be talking Super Bowl.
Ooh, it's going to be a lot of shootouts.
For the Falcons?
We know that, that's for sure.
That defense is porous. They make a Super
Kyle
Bowl.
Kyle Pitts back there playing edge rusher.
Yeah, we need to put Kyle Pitts in middle linebacker, safety.
Like, the funny thing is, we've seen, in the last In the last couple of years, I think the most recent one that I can think of where there was very little defensive battle was, what was it, Patriots-Eagles? It was both quarterbacks putting up 500-plus yards.
Yeah.
Like, you can win on a high-powered
offense. I don't enjoy those games.
No, they're terrible.
Let's talk about DeBell of the Bowl, Trevor Lawrence, our final prospect. Trevor Lawrence, the closest player to Sunshine from Remember the Titans skill set that we'll ever see. Damn, Sunshine. So Trevor Lawrence, he's the number one pick. He's been the number one pick for 2 years. Like, people, yeah, we've been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. Is there more than a, is there a chance that he's a bust?
Now, I want to point something out. I brought this up, like, the other day to you guys. I said that I feared, like, the new coaching staff and Urban Meyer being the coach of the Jaguars. And, you know, if things kind of go south in a hurry, how that could have an adverse effect on Trevor Lawrence.
It's bold to pick a college coach to turn an NFL team around.
Again, I feel like his CEO mentality and just hands off. He's not a hands-on, you know, teaching the quarterback. It's going to be on the assistant coaches, obviously, to develop Trevor Lawrence in their system, or at least build a scheme around him. But, you know, if there was a guy that I'm concerned about, it would be him. Not as a bust, but as a guy that we're going to have to wait a few years for him to be able to get going in that particular organization. I want to be wrong, and I know that his talent might be able to overcome that. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But yeah, I do know one thing for sure. I know Urban Meyer went there because he knows. I mean, look at all the draft picks they have.
I don't know if I dreamed about this. I don't know if it was in our fantasy league. DJ Shark got traded, right?
No, he's on Jacksonville.
He's still on Jacksonville. Okay, it was a dream.
They signed Marvin Lewis.
You mean Marvin Jones Jr.?
Marvin Jones.
Okay, all right. So look,
Marvin Lewis coming out of coaching retirement to play wide receiver.
You know, I feel like this is, it's rare where these quarterbacks, all of them, they're going to decent situations. Like, we can say, okay, like, even with the Jets, it's not ideal. They've wasted so many careers, but with the Robert Saleh hire and then, you know, picking up Corey Davis and some other weapons, like, that's not a terrible place to go. Probably the worst place to go out of all the places for the quarterbacks, but you look at Denver, you look at Carolina, you look at San Francisco, and even Jacksonville. I mean, you got a solidified run game, you got James Robinson, and then you have young receivers on the outside, right? So, I mean,
Don't forget, they still have a fan favorite in Gardner Minshew on the bench, too. That's never a good thing for
a quarterback. That's a trade piece. You can flip him for a fifth.
You could, but until they do, you're going to have the first time Trevor Lawrence throws an interception, you're going to have some dumb Jacksonville going, Minshew-mania! Like, it's just, that's what's going to happen.
Hey, look, I go back. Organizations don't stay behind quarterbacks long enough, because I really believe Gardner Minshew is a quarterback that if the organization stays behind him for 3, 4, 5 years, he'll turn into a Pro Bowler. But
Washington football team should try to trade for Gardner Minshew.
That wouldn't be bad.
I don't hate it at all.
Like that, yeah.
Like, third round pick, you can save your first draft a O-line or wide receiver, and you get Gardner Minshew for a third round pick.
Now, before we move on from Trevor Lawrence, one interesting thing I saw in a couple mocks is the Jags grabbing Trevor Lawrence and then grabbing Travis Etienne at the top of the second round. Well, now, he had a great connection with Etienne out of the backfield throwing the ball. Maybe that would ease his transition into a new offense, or?
Nah, it should stay away from Travis Etienne. I mean, they got James Robinson. I wouldn't, you know, get him another weapon. You might be able to get some receivers there.
James Robinson was a great receiver out of the backfield.
Go offensive line, go defense.
Get the man some protection.
Yeah, man.
I really think if you're at the top of the second round, the wide receiver talent is so deep in this draft. You're gonna find an instant impact wide receiver at the top of the second round.
Yeah. You will.
And, like, I'm not saying – that's not me saying Shark and Jones Jr. are not excellent.
Don't forget LaVisca.
Oh, yeah.
They still have Robert. Do they still have what is that?
LaVisca. That's even more of a reason for them to not draft Travis Etienne or a third down back. Because LaVisca, huh?
You got to go O-line. I heard Urban Meyer actually made a comment the other day. They're going best available, like everywhere. So.
Nice. All right. So let's talk about the other three quarterbacks. Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, and Davis Mills. These are the guys that they'll be looking at. Someone's going to overreach for one of them because so many teams are desperate for a quarterback. Stanford's Davis Mills, Kellen Mond, and Kyle Trask, they're going to be reached for at least one of them. It's looking more like Kellen Mond would be the guy that someone would take a risk on early in the rounds. But Kyle Trask in the second, I've heard, and then Davis Mills, who knows? Brandon, where do you think these guys are going to fall?
I like Kyle Trask to probably end up being picked before even that point. Like, I know Steelers fans are Najee Harris. I want Najee. Get Najee. Like, no. I think that Pittsburgh might be better off picking a quarterback. And if they can get a guy like that late round one, why not kick the tires, have him sit behind Big Ben for a year, maybe even half the year, depending on if Big Ben can hold up for another full season. And that would be a big deal, I think, for Pittsburgh.
Why did Kyle Trask get dropped in his draft value?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, obviously, his bowl game, most of his players sat Pitts and the receiver who might go in the first round. What's his name? Tony.
Yep.
So is that the main reason? Just because he couldn't show it with no...
Well, I think the timing and the rhythm when you switch, when you don't have your core, right, out there.
It doesn't have to do with talent. It's reps.
In a bowl game, a meaningless bowl game to begin with, where you're not really, you know, obviously you want to see your guys compete at the highest level, but we're talking a meaningless bowl game with no fans and a pandemic season where there were a lot of players reportedly that just didn't even want to play in bowl games. They would have rather just said, never mind, right? Like, let's not do it. But they did it. A lot of guys did and some didn't. And I think for Kyle Trask, give him a year behind a guy like a Big Ben or even an Andy Dalton in Chicago, or whoever the heck's going to start in Chicago for that matter, that would be a great opportunity. Dude is 6'5", 239 pounds, and I swear to you, you know, I started out looking at Pitts and Kadarius Toney first, and looking at Kyle Trask once again, I'm like, man, why is he not getting a lot of love? His accuracy is really on point. Like, downfield, intermediate accuracy, he's putting the ball between defenders. Florida's not the same football team without Kyle Trask that they were a year ago. So again, I mean, he shows a high level pocket awareness. He's not mobile like the other guys, but he's got enough, right? He can move around similarly to Mac Jones. He'll make some plays like that. But I did see him make a couple plays where he extended the play where you don't see it a lot, but he has the ability to do it, get outside the pocket and make a big play. It was a touchdown that I actually had on film that I was reviewing on one of the YouTube shows. So I don't know. He's falling for whatever reason. He competed at the highest level in the SEC. Go look at the Alabama game, for example, where he was back and forth toe-to-toe with them. So I don't know. It could be his experience level, too. I want to point that out. Like, dude got passed up in high school, was a backup quarterback in high school to De'Eriq King. So he started like as a freshman or a sophomore and never started after that. And when he got to Florida, for example, he wasn't the starter. So you have to look at that, too. There's a maturation process and a maturity level with a guy like that, too. So a guy who's willing to sit there and bide his time like that, that's a big deal. It's not talked about enough.
Kellen Mond, he's the guy that I've heard. I'm not comparing their play styles, but I'm comparing their rise pre-draft. Mason Rudolph, his name just kept coming up, and he just kept shooting up. And then someone took him in this. He was like a third round pick to Pittsburgh. I feel like Kellen Mond's getting the same treatment this year. He's the guy that I keep hearing, hey, don't you sleep on Kellen Mond. He's got a certain skill set that could transfer to the NFL very well.
He's interesting because watch him on film. Woody, I'll tell you this. Texas A&M is boring to watch. All right. Like, I've watched Texas A&M film a couple times now, and I'm like, oh man. And I remember 2 years ago, and I sent you that funny graphic from a couple years ago too, where I misspelled Kellen Mond's name.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. But anyway, Kellen Mond. But I started back then watching, and he is just like it. Their offense is boring, and he is such an unorthodox looking player back there. He's so stiff looking in the pocket. But again, like, you go in and you watch, though, his receivers are 90% of the time they're covered. They don't gain separation really well at the second level or even the third level. So he's constantly trying to throw into traffic, and he makes accurate throws. So he's super accurate in those situations. He does pop up. Like, when I'm looking at advanced stats, he is always somewhere within the range of some of the other top guys. You know what I mean? When we're looking at like deep ball rating, and that's something that he had to improve on year over year over year at Texas A&M, which I feel like he's been there for 8 years. He was able to do that. So he's a guy I think could, you know, get to a point where an NFL team says, you know what, I like him, I'm going to take this guy. And I said it last show, I could see a team picking him in the first round.
So. Yeah, he's the guy, if I see someone reaching, that they're like, that's my guy at the end of the first round, that's the guy I see someone trading up for. Davis Mills, I saw Davis Mills play a few times against USC, and he makes great throws, but he's not consistent, and he will three and out you throughout a game sometimes. Like, it's there's definite holes in his game. I'm not a fan. I don't think he'll ever be an NFL starter. But maybe a backup? I could see it as a useful backup.
I've got him under that developmental tag, which is, you know, the third tier, right? But doesn't mean he can't develop into a guy who could
be. I mean, he's a horse. 6'4", 220. Yeah. He's got the body.
He moves in the pocket. Like, if you watch him on film, and I pointed this out on that YouTube video as well, he's got really quick feet in the pocket, and he's just very mechanically sound. Like, everything looks just so perfect, and he's moving quick. But when you watch him, he's kind of got that, like, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning movement in the pocket. So you look at that, and you're like, okay, mechanically, he looks really good. He you know, he gets into his drops really well. And then I watched his pro day, for example. On film, he was more immobile. He had a knee brace on, but he didn't have the knee brace on during his pro day. He was moving. Like, I didn't see him moving like he was moving on film. His pro day, he was moving a lot quicker. I don't recall off the top of my head, I don't have it in front of me, what his 40 time was, but it was a surprisingly quicker time than what people expected as well. So
yeah,
sneaky guy to keep an eye on. I like him. We'll see what happens.
Nice. Well, Brandon, that's our quarterback class of 2021. Nate, you wanted to add, who's your favorite out of these three, Nate?
I want to bring up someone that isn't listed here that I think is a really good late round pick, maybe to take a flyer on, Sam Ellinger University of Texas. I think that he is a player that could develop into a legitimate NFL quarterback under the right coaching.
Nice. Texas, they played tough against a lot of people this year, but, you know, they've kind of been in.
They're just underwhelming. University of Texas has been, since Mac Brown left, has just
since
been
Mac Brown left is, yeah, it's not, it's been a little brutal. Yeah, so that's going to wrap up our 2021 NFL quarterback class. Guys, this is the beginning of the draft coverage. We're going to be doing live Twitch reaction to the draft on draft night, opening night, and we're going to be doing a ton of content for you this week. Please tune in.
Give us your thoughts. Running backs next?
Yeah, running backs next. Maybe Monday. Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday. So we'll probably do running
backs. Do it
on
Sunday. We could release it Monday, something like that.
Yeah. We'll try to get running backs and receivers at least out of the way before the draft. Yeah.
Well, for CSPN, Nasty Nate Park, and Coach Lundberg, we are Five Tool Sports. Check out Football Scout 365. Check us out, as always, on our socials at the number 5 Tool Sports Podcast, Instagram at the number 5 Tool Sports Podcast.com website. Thanks for listening.